Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil, John, and McKenna are back with another defining episode for Survivor Season 50. And today we are talking about Q's defining episode. And there's only one episode that could be, which we like had discussion of. Which episode are we going to do? Is it the one with the Q skirt? Is it the one where he tells about Tiffany's idol? Is it the one where he almost quits? Is it the one where they play hide and seek? That all happens in the same episode. It's hide and seek, episode number 8 of Survivor 46. Here we go. We just talked about Coach. And now we're jumping in a queue.
It's like, amazing what you forget when you get into this episode. And it's like, oh, this literally had every bit of queue you could ever want, dream, and imagine of just like right out here. And I'm like, what a perfect episode to talk about.
It's absolutely perfect. McKenna, I know you and John did more of the research for this of what episodes are we going to pick and all of that stuff. Some people we struggled with. We didn't struggle with the martyr approach and we did not struggle with hide and seek. I mean, this is also the episode though that I know some people in the Survivor community don't feel that Q should be playing on Survivor 50 because they try to claim he essentially quit the game and that he didn't want to be there and that he was kept in just because, but that he went in there trying to quit. And that's not something that you really want to take chances with because we've seen people who have played Survivor in the past talk about quitting, come back and quit the next time they play. I'm not talking about anybody in particular who was on Survivor One World and then Survivor Blood versus Water. But, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. So I feel like this also encompasses Q as well because he tried to do it in the beginning and they were like, no, stop this. But he's the type of guy that like, if he's done you wrong, he wants to pay for it. And that's what he's claiming in the episode, in the episodes, because spoiler alert, we watched the next episode
for Tiffany.
So we got a little bit of context, but like he says, you know, I feel like I'm causing too much chaos. I should just go.
And the 46 cast sticks to that story too. Liz was on a podcast last week and said, no. Q actually felt so bad about messing everything up that he was willing to fall on his own sword. And you wonder why we get comparisons of Coach and Q as the, yes, they're these massive characters, but they also have this like strange honor system that they both have too. Mm-hmm. And this episode puts it full on display. We get absolutely everything of Q's character in here. We get how difficult he is to work with. We get how steadfast he is to his allies, but how willing he is to kind of, you know, take that leniency with the deals he made because he can have that Tony-esque, like, yeah, you went back on me, so now I got to go back on you. But he also has this weird sense of honor where he's like, oh, I'm actually making it worse for everyone, so I should fall on the sword instead.
He also has the strategy of hide and seek of him thinking, well, if you can hide in plain sight really well, then that translates to the game. You think that's just a Q thought, but then Venus has a confessional about it as well. And it's like, oh, other people realize what Q is doing. And that means it's not just his brain equating things. It's actually something that people are thinking about. And that puts a target on Hunter because he's in the center of camp up in a tree. So his Q-isms actually have some meat to them.
And there is the line in here, and Blake and I did an entire episode about after season 46 ended, our digging deeper was just about going back and revisiting the hide and seek conversation, seeing what came true. And he has the line in here about Ben. He's somebody who can be really, really hidden, really, really under the radar, and then be really strong at the end. And a lot of people are like, that meant nothing because he doesn't get a vote at Final Three. Nobody wins the immunity challenge at Final Four and ultimately selects who comes to the end. He talks about Hunter being up there and doing whatever. There's the line from Venus about Tiffany is going to go, and she had her red showing, which means she's not going to be thinking about the finer details. And sure enough, she gets blindsided with an idol in her pocket shortly after this. And another moment in this episode, though, that I can't help but just dive into and make sure it's out on the table so we can talk about it when we're talking about the grand scheme of things, is the rice negotiation. Jeff says, who wants to do this? Q jumps out and says he'll do it. Liz jumps out and says that she'll do it. And then Q can't get, they can't get anybody else to do it. So Q goes up there. Q drops out immediately. What is Q doing? He's essentially throwing a tantrum, right? Q drops out immediately. And Jeff even gives him a hard time. For instance, I would have lasted longer than 20 seconds. And so he drops out, Liz drops out. And as people drop out, he's like, we could have had the rice. We could have had the rice. We could have had the rice. And you can see that it's frustrating him, but that's just his personality. When it doesn't go his way, we see that on this season, it drives him crazy.
But I also think if you saw Hunter crouched in a tree and then you get to this challenge, yes, I get that it's an iconic challenge and you want to try it out. I'm one of those people. But when you just saw Hunter in a tree, do you think you have a chance? Like, that would be my frustration as Q. Like, I would have brought that up at the rice negotiation, being like, so, two of you definitely do not have a chance here.
Yeah.
Venus, I understand, because she is the build for that type of challenge, that she has a strong chance of winning. But maybe some other people could listen to Q's logic and step down.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ben could have sat that one out for sure. And I think that, like, Maria could have sat out. But also, look, you're playing Survivor. I wouldn't sit out for anything in Survivor. The only way I would sit out is if they did the what do you call it? Twist again, do or die twist. I would not participate in that challenge no matter what. Yeah. I'm not going to leave my game up to fate. I'd rather go rely on my social game. I would never, ever, ever compete in that challenge. I would just give immunity to whoever wants to win it. And then I would try to find an idol or something, but otherwise I would never sit out for anything. And so I think though that this just kind of goes to Q's mentality with the game, which is, you know, this feels like it just makes the most sense. We all lost. That was his explanation at Tribal, is we all lost in the situation. There was only going to be one winner and there was going to be one loser, but instead we all lost. And I think it's a good point, but also if I get my one chance, like you think about Charlie, Charlie doesn't necessarily look like somebody who would kill this challenge. He's got Jeff right where he wants him for negotiations at the end of the challenge. You know what I mean? When he's about to bite on the pole because he's done. But I just think, like, You want to play. I get that. I just like to bring it up because Q really does. Q, like we were talking about with Coach in the last episode, he doesn't have much control, right? That's one of the big things with Coach, is he doesn't have all that much control. He's being told kind of what to do. Q thinks he has a lot of control. Coach never thought he had a lot of control. Q thinks he has the six. He's determining some of these things. But you see in this episode how people are kind of undermining him, without really saying, Q, I'm going to undermine you, but it's driving him crazy. It's the paper cuts that ultimately kill him, and he can't take it.
I mean, think the interesting thing about Q here is, and we really see it in this rice negotiation and stuff, we accredit him to being this chaotic character, this character who is just, who knows what he's going to do next. And there's a lot in this episode to make you think that, right? There's the quit at the end, or the attempted quit at the end. There's the going back on the six that comes up throughout the entire episode. Except in a weird way, he's always running on logic. It's just Q logic, and you just have to figure out what that means.
He's logical, but he's not, like, always explaining it in the most logical way. Like, you can see that the logic is there, but how it's coming out to everybody isn't necessarily logical.
Well, because he says, like, it's Q logic. He puts his, I feel like, because he says, oh, it's a Q idea, it almost diminishes his idea that he's bringing forth, because he's throwing the character into his strategy. So I feel like people might not take him as serious because it's Q strategy, it's Q logic, it's Q whatever.
Yeah.
This is the same guy who decided to put his hoodie on backwards and try to market it as, well, its own thing.
It's good they didn't do the rice, because he said, you know, I'm fed and now I have ideas. All right, Q skirt, guys, listen.
I think that's also what's so fun about this. Like, when you get a Q, when you get a Coach on the same season, we don't know if they'll ever play together. They're not on the same starting tribes based on the tribe breakdowns that were leaked, that we assume are accurate from Inside Survivor. they're not on the same. So we don't know if they're ever going to interact, but you know, going to each of those tribes, that even if it's the most mundane BS going on at those tribes, mm-hmm. is going to be so electric, because like these guys will give you something. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's so great about Q is you, this episode really got into camp life in a way that we hadn't gotten into camp life. And I think that's why people were so frustrated with season 48, because season 48, there's not a lot of strategic play going on, but the players also aren't doing stuff like this because there is no Q. There's nobody to say, let's go play hide and seek. Let's act like a bunch of children. And Q's like, this is great. This is, I actually enjoy playing hide and seek. I'm so happy we're doing this. We don't have that type of character in Survivor 48 to give you that gold. And you think about this episode is a very basic episode when you break it down. Tevin ultimately goes home. It's not really that much of a, but Tevin's blindsided, but the audience isn't that shocked that Tevin ultimately goes home in this episode, because we're pretty much told early on that he's going to be the person going home. And yet there's so many great moments, and it's one of the most fun episodes of the new era.
And I think what Q does really well is disguises his strategic moves. He disguises his needing to know more information on how people maneuver through hide and seek, something that people are just going to gloss over. So I think what is Q's new game going to be that he's going to twist and turn into something where he can gain information on people?
Mm-hmm. Does he try to make another alliance like he does in this season? Like, do we get another six? And if you look at it, Q's not the one. I mean, it's justified in the edit, at least. Q isn't the one who initiates cannibalizing the six.
Mm-hmm. It's
right. Like in the episode preceding, Tim wanted to go after Hunter. So Q's like, well, Tim's got to go. He's going after the six. And then immediately it's like looking to fill that gap with Charlie. Yeah. And we see the beginning of this Q and Maria relationship here, where Maria says, oh, Q is willing to bring in my closest ally. He's telling me about Tiffany's idol. Q really trusts me. This is a massive establishment of a relationship from Q in a spot where he's essentially dead in the water with the only two people he had played the game with prior to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Q's loyal. And I know that there's a lot that goes into this, right, with him and Tiffany and him and Kenzie. We see, obviously, in the next episode when we do Tiffany's episode, which will be two episodes because we're doing Aubrey next, then we're getting to Tiffany. But in the next episode, chronologically, in season 46, we do hear Kenzie and Tiffany be like, we're not talking to you. We don't like you. You're annoying us, whatever. But he's still very loyal to the people he says he's going to be loyal to. He just causes some chaos that you don't want to have in the game from an ally. And that's what makes it tough. If I'm going out on the season, I'd play with Q.
What the thing is also with Q is he set his alliance really at the three, because the six alliance is started out as a 3+1.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the journey. So those three people that were at the journey were what he tried to be as loyal as possible to, where Kenzie and Tiffany, like Tiffany was the plus one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And we even see that with Charlie's confessional in like the early morning when he's like, you got to get up at dawn. Mm-hmm. He's saying Q is shaping. He's not just building this six person alliance. He's trying to shape who he's going to play this game to the end with.
Yeah.
Q has a strategic mind. And I think we kind of forget that because of the situation that the tribe was on at the beginning of the season with like the whole Jelinski into Jessica into Banu of it all. Mm-hmm. But Q has these strategic chops, right? Q is the person who in that first episode really pushes Jelinski going home, because he's like, hey, if Jelinski's willing to give up on this sweat savvy test, like, can we really trust him? Right?
But also sit out of the challenge.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. Sorry, John, go ahead.
But that's the thing, right? Like, you have this person who is willing to push strategically and push for moves to happen in the game, but not for the sake of moves. Everything Q is doing, he thinks is for his own benefit in the game. And he's so willing. I think the beautiful thing about this six is how willing he is to pivot it to better suit him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just accept, okay, this alliance is done. He's like, no, I am taking the parts of this alliance that works, and I'm just going to make it better.
Mm-hmm. He also does have, at least in this episode, a pretty good relationship with Tiffany still, to where she doesn't want to leave him out of the vote for Tevin. And then Q tells Hunter that it's Tevin, but still nothing changes with the vote. Q is like, all right, guess my plan's not working. I'm going to ride with Tiffany and go forward. Hunter can't change it off of Tevin. So he kind of leaves. He's still building his relationship with Hunter in case he needs it. He has this relationship with Tiffany until Tiffany finds out that he blabbed about the idol and etc.
That ends that. Yeah.
Yeah. But he still is good at making those connections, even if he is a bit chaotic to be an ally with.
Yeah. It's really him telling about the idol that kills him here. And I think he is a strong ally to have, but you can't overshare with Q. I think that's the thing to learn. If you're on a starting tribe with Q, I'd play with Q. I'd go out there and I'd say, Q, I want to be your number one ally. Let's go play this game. You know, let's do what we need to do. But if I find an idol, I don't think I'm telling Q, because I think that he blew that on this season. And I don't know. I'm curious what this episode and what his learning experience in 46 will do for him when he comes out on the season 50, because we see him play where he's so trusting of Maria that it ultimately gets him voted out. We see him going and telling people too many things. We see him spilling a lot. We see him talking about quitting. And I think if he talks about quitting on 50, I think they'll grant that wish and send him packing. Everybody here wants to be there so bad. They're not going to give up that spot. They'll just say, I'm not going to vote, Jeff. He wants to go home. He can go home. I'm not voting tonight.
Yeah. And well, it'll be kind of, I guess, more in the next episode, but it's still involving with Q, where it's like, we're not going to vote you out at tribal council, but if you'd like to quit, please be my guest.
Yeah.
Because this is not, we're not sacrificing our game for your game. But if you would like to leave, you can do that after tribal council.
And that's what Kenzie says here, right?
Yeah.
At tribal council, she says, I am playing the game, Q. Like, what if I have plans for you further down the line? Nobody wants you to go home tonight. And he catches everybody so off guard. And I think Q is very impulsive. Mm-hmm. Which I think this episode really shows. He's very calculating, but he's also very impulsive. And I think, you know, which side of Q will we get in season 50? Will it be the impulsive side? Will the calculating side come out more? If it's an even split, he can go really far. If the impulsive side comes out more than the calculating side, I think Q's going to be toast early, because people are going to be like, dude, you got to stop.
Yeah.
My question about Q going into 50 is he still this person like he was in 46 who can just be the decoy vote for so long? Because after this, he's the decoy vote for every single vote until he's out of the game.
Yeah. And even then, he was supposed to be the decoy vote.
After also watching Ko Rong, I almost feel like Q has the Debbie effect too, to where like they're great to be in an alliance with, but at a certain point, it's like, all right, I can't do it anymore. And then. Yeah. They get cut.
I can't win with you. Yeah.
And I think, like, going back on the whole Tiffany of it all, and we get more in the next episode than we do in this episode, but with just at the tribal council where Tiffany finds out that Charlie and Maria know about her idol, that Q blabbed it. The biggest danger Q has going into 50 is his how fast he can lose people he's working with. Because in this episode a lot, and I don't know if you two picked up on it in the rewatch, he talks to Liz a lot about strategy in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And I don't think people will remember that, because everyone are thinking about the Q and Liz relationship. They're thinking about the Applebee's blow up a couple episodes for after this. But he had a fantastic relationship with almost everyone in this game.
Yeah, he is a personal wanted person. Q to stay in the game.
Yeah. It's Q can work with anybody, but Q can also butt heads with anybody.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Another thing proven by hide and seek. Because I do think people genuinely like Q. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen Q at events, but like when Q is at events, he's very popular, I feel like, with castaways and such. I saw him at the Ron Clark event twice. He's very popular with like other people who are there, not just fans. But when you're living with somebody for 48 hours or 24 yeah. hours a day, that can start to become a little tedious. Hide and seek, though, between hide and seek and the martyr approach, it's almost like hide and seek kind of is the martyr approach of the new era.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Q just doesn't go home.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant new era episode. And I don't think that as we're watching these new era episodes, I haven't been like, yeah, like this is a solid episode of Survivor until like watching Hide and Seek. I was like, this is the most Q thing I have ever watched. And it just, anybody listening, just rewatch this episode if you haven't watched it before this, because it is just like a masterclass on everything you need to know about Q.
Yeah.
Even though that's not the right series, but I think this is like, it's just perfect.
I love that. And I think that 46, I know it's pretty polarizing season. It's kind of like Gabon, where some people love it, some people hate it. I think 46 in the long run might go down as the best new era season. Like between 41 and 49, we don't know 49 yet. I know a lot of people are, you know, really love 47, but I think 46 might go down as the best. It's just pure chaos the entire time. And honestly, after rewatching episode 8 and rewatching episode 9 to get ready for this series, mm-hmm. I'm much more excited for Tiffany than I thought I was going to be. I'm finally at that point where I'm like, oh, hell yeah. All right, Tiffany. Like she brings it. And that was my winner pick originally. I ranked her like last in a lot of stuff that we've been doing because she is the least coming into this. She's not, she's the least out of everybody on this cast that other than the two that we don't know.
Right.
But this cast is so good. Even Ben brings it in these two episodes. People always talk about Ben got no edit. I'm watching these two episodes. I'm like,
so much of this episode.
I'm like, Ben's killing it. Like, what are we talking about? Like, what was wrong with the community when this was happening? He's so good in these two episodes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right, that's what we got. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Next up, we are going to Aubrey and we are talking Survivor Ko Rong, episode number 9. It's Psychological Warfare, which I got 15 minutes in and I said, are we sure this is the Aubrey episode? And then it becomes the Aubrey episode.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about that next. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Aubrey next. And if you just want to go with continuation, watch Spicy Jeff, because after Aubrey, we're doing Tiffany's episode, which will be Spicy Jeff, which is the episode after Hide and Seek. So thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.